payasos no ponemos la pared.
No somos muchos, no somos pocos, pero estamos todos locos.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And welcome back to another episode of Pocos Pero Locos. My name is Jorge, and I've got my co-founder here, Juan. What's going on, man?
What's up, y'all? Good. Glad to be back.
Yeah, man. Lots to talk about, as always. The last time we did an episode was a little over a month ago.
Yeah, something like that.
It's been super busy.
Yeah.
Like crazy busy. And honestly, we'll let you guys know why. Some of you guys might know why, but it's just been super busy day after day. A lot of planning for the home opener in Oakland, which we will get to.
Yeah.
That was exciting. But we've also started the season with, what was it, two matches away before the home opener?
Yeah, it was two away, which Los Roots went to. And then, man, we planned the away matches and prepped for the home opener all at the same time. So it was super busy.
Yeah, and something that we've been getting better at each year is to plan ahead of time.
Yeah.
And this time we thought we had it down, but it turns out that we probably have to start planning the moment the season's over.
Yeah, man, that's what it seems like, because some of these things, I don't know if we're going to go into it yet, but like, dude, like the TIFO, like it got down to
to the week of,
you know? But of course that was also because of unseen circumstances, but
all kinds of stuff, the weather.
But
that's why it should be planned ahead of time, right?
Like,
to get into our home opener as smoothly as we can. That should be the goal. But it's always crunch time, getting things ordered, scarves, hoodies, shirts,
designs, picking designs.
Yeah, it's a lot that goes into it. And but anyways, it's just been a really crazy off season, but really glad to get it kicked off already. Really glad to get the first game down. And we'll talk more about that soon, but let's just start kind of where we left off last time. So the last podcast that we did, it was before any games were going on, right?
And so yeah, I believe so. It was before, like, maybe the preseason was going on, which we got no news, no information,
yeah.
No scores.
Yeah.
I think there was only one score that I saw online, which was that we lost to Tapatío 1-0.
Yeah.
But other than that, I didn't see anything.
And I feel like, because I did get to talk to some people on, you know, from the club, and a lot of these games aren't actual matches. They're literally, I mean, there's a lot of the rules aren't there, right? Like, they're changing whole teams. They're trying plays. They're pausing the game at certain times. And so it's not your traditional game. So it almost seems like to the people who I asked for the score, they were like, yeah, that kind of doesn't matter, just because it's literally like practice almost.
Yeah, know? Yeah. And that's really what preseason's supposed to be, is like, you know, let the young guys play and try different things out, mm-hmm. and switch up the goalkeepers and, yeah, just give everybody some playing time, basically.
Yeah, and but to I think that at least this off season and these matches were pretty fun, because we're collaborating now with Liga MX.
Yeah, right? That was the big surprise this year when when we heard that they were going to go play with Atlas and play with Club Tapatío, which is a second division Liga MX team. Shit, that was big news, especially against Atlas.
Like, yeah, it's really cool to see. I remember it used to be, it was a lot of fun to see when Liga MX was starting to kind of collaborate with MLS,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's been going on for a while now. Yeah. They have tournaments and stuff now. But for it to get to the USL, that's really cool, because this is opening the doors for the teams to come out here, which Atlas did come and practice at the Oakland Roots facility.
Yeah, they did.
Chivas has done it before, too.
Yeah.
And international teams have done it, too.
And to be fair, actually, if memory serves me right or correct, how do you say that? How was that saying?
What?
Anyway, if my memory is right, I believe we played Tijuana once back in the Laney days. Tijuana,
I do remember
the Cholos
that.
Came up here to play us once.
Yeah, that was like when Chuy.
Yeah, it was back in the Laney
and
days.
we were borrowing players at that time too from Tijuana.
Oh yeah, we had the goalie from them.
Yeah.
But that's cool. You know, we we've played preseason game against TJ. Now we've played a preseason game against Atlas, Club Tapatio.
Yeah.
So it's just exciting, especially cool, with the club flying out there and playing out there and training at Atlas facility.
Yeah, that was like, cool to see, man. They have some videos on Oakland Roots social media on their trips out that way. And so that was exciting to see. But moving on, we got to start the season off with two away games, which we knew as soon as the schedule dropped, we knew how busy it was going to be for us. Because these away matches are matches that we were able to go to, right, as Los Roots. And that kind of got added to three home games right after that, right? So there was OC.
Yeah, it was OC to start the season. That was the season opener.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Monterey the next week. And then three home games back to back.
Yeah, including, of course, the home opener, which is a big deal. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about each of these games. At this moment, we just passed our home opener. So we'll start with OC. I personally didn't get to go, but I did get to speak to some of the folks from their SGs over there. Really nice people. They invited us to the tailgate. They told us where they would be at or where the popular spots were at inside. But Los Roots, we had a good amount of folks that went that way, that drove that way.
Yeah, surprisingly, like when we were like, all right, let's go to OC, it was like, I don't know, like six of us and then eight and then 10 and then 12 and 15. Like people just started adding on and on and on.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a good number of us. You know, we got there, like we hit a brewery, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. It's, we've talked about it before that even Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure, we go watch the Roots, but we're there for 5 days sometimes.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And so, of course, all 5 days aren't dedicated to the Roots.
Yeah.
You know?
No, actually, we got there and we went to go eat. We went to that carnita spot that we went to last
so
time.
Good. Yeah, chilaquiles and carnitas.
Yeah, burritos de chilaquiles y carnitas. And yeah, we went there. We had breakfast. And then we went to a brewery in downtown L.A. in the Art District.
Cool.
I forget what it's called. It was really nice, though. It was really cool. They had foosball tables. Bro, we had that shit popping.
Yeah, yeah.
We were playing foosball. At first, it was like nobody there. Once we were playing, and you know how we get.
Yeah, it's heated.
We get intense. We had people around us watching us play foosball.
Like a little tournament.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
And then you guys went into the match. Most places now traditionally are allowing one drum, one flag.
Yeah, and that's how OC was. One drum, one flag.
Yeah.
And but it was cool. Like we didn't get pressed by security or anything.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Really easy to get in and out.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of stadiums, you know, security, they're not, you know, they don't press us much, but sometimes our safety is key to them. So they just have additional rules or, you know, like in SAC where they have to escort us in and escort us out, you know.
But OC, you know, it was Los Roots, it was the Hooligans, Forever Oakland, and a few more. A few of the other SGs.
Yeah.
And our little section looked pretty full for, you know, for being an away game way down south.
Yeah. I think it's also the excitement of like, hey, soccer's back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but unfortunately, the score didn't go
our way. Man. We ended up losing that game 4-2. And, but we didn't, you know how we do 4-1, 4-2 or whatever. We keep the drums going and, you know, we kept chanting the whole game. It looked like we were coming back a little, but it ended up being 4-2.
Yeah. It's sad to see right away, you know, but look, it's a brand new team. You know, it's like, it's a lot of good players in my opinion, but there's a lot of molding that needs to happen first. OC, they've been together that same, you know, or at least the majority of the players have been together for at least 2 years, right? So you kind of know how players play or your teammates around you work. But it doesn't excuse why we lost. But again, it could have been part of it. Let's move on now. You guys got back, and then literally the next weekend, it was Monterey.
Yeah, we got back from OC, and it was time to get ready for Monterey.
Yeah. And like it or not, I mean, they all take a lot of energy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of preparation, a lot of work. You know, being in contact with the club, with the opposing SGs, you know, we try to make sure that we're connecting with the other SGs, see where they'll be at, and, you know, making sure that we stop by, shake hands, and say hi to people. But it's a lot of work. It's not like we just show up and stuff. And a lot of the times, you know, especially like for us, right, as some of the leaders of the SG, we have to continuously work on communicating with our own crew and making sure that everybody knows where we're headed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Organizing, giving, you know, times, locations, because mm-hmm. if you're going to drive out 2 hours or even 6 hours to L.A., mm-hmm. You know, you want to have an agenda, kind of where are we going to stop to eat at what time, where are we going to go have, you know, a few brews, where are we going to tailgate, and
sure.
And that comes down to us to breaking all that shit down and passing it out to the crew.
Yeah, and again, that's a lot of communication, not only with our crew, but with the club itself, with people from, you know, from, let's say, in Monterey, you know, speaking to them. So we went over to Monterey, and we landed at the Brass Tap
Brewery. Yeah. Yeah, we ended up going to the Brass Tap, and, man, that was a cool spot.
It's a lot of fun, man. Yeah. I didn't know that that was where Monterey's SGs were at, but, of course, I think that's where the invitation originally came from.
Yeah, yeah, they had sent us an invitation to go there, and at first we were trying to go to a pizza spot, but
it was packed.
It was too, many,
too
of
many of
us.
It was
too many of us.
And that's where we were concerned, because there is a different place that we like to go to.
Yeah.
But it's like a brunch place, but they can't sit 30 people at once, you know, and especially just showing up out of nowhere. But it turns out it was a really great spot.
Yeah.
They hosted us really well. We were able to have interviews with the opposing SG members. They had all kinds of activities, a DJ.
The live music. And,
it was great.
It had indoor and outdoor seating. And, yeah, I had fun. And then it was so close to the stadium, too.
Super close. Yeah, literally just like maybe a mile or something away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I loved our entrance into that stadium. You know, all together wearing black, marching to one of our chants and going straight to our section. But again, the score wasn't in our favor,
but we scored first, so that was exciting, you know?
Oh, of course. I think being able to celebrate a goal, it's always fun, you know, especially the way we celebrate, the chance we have for when we score. It was fun. The rivalry is still there.
Yeah.
Very much alive. Their SGs came over and said, "What's up to us" at the end of the game. And it's all love, you know. I like how one of their members puts it, and it's the rivalry stops after 90.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so important, right? Because I've seen it go beyond 90 and it can get messy. And, you know, we bring, you know, families and kids and women and, you know, everybody's there, and we would hate for it to get violent or any, you know, disrespectful. Yeah. Or so it's nice that we can, you know, kind of out-chant each other, or, you know, just kind of go at it in the stands.
We went the whole game, didn't stop. Game ended. We lost. The game ended, and we kept going.
As we traditionally do, you know? And I love that, man. I love that that's something that we are doing now. And it's for no other reason but that we just have the energy, you know?
Do we have the energy?
Yeah, if not, we would have stopped, you know? I keep going. I don't stop, man. I'm on those drums, and I just keep going.
I know,
going.
Bro.
Yeah.
I'm chanting. I look over at you, and you're still hitting the drum hard, and I'm like, fuck it, I guess we're still chanting.
Bro, I'm going to use every ounce of battery I got left in me, and if I've got, like, if I'm at 2%, I'm going to use that up.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw the Monterey Cats packing their shit up, and we were still going.
Still going at it. And I love doing that, especially at away games, man. When we can out-chant you in your own home, that's a win for me.
Yeah,
and,
that was
sometimes that's how it feels, right? It's like one thing is the team, winning, losing, whatever. But we also have a responsibility, you know?
Yeah.
And I take our own wins or our own losses. There are times where we don't sound so good.
Yeah.
And I consider those losses. And there's times where we sound great, on point. Those are wins for us too, right? So for me, as a member of RSG and dropping so much pride and effort into what we do, It's so important for us to always take those wins as a supporter group, right? For the club specifically. And we actually got to hear the coach talk about it in one of his interviews, right? It's like the coach said that he has shown videos of the supporter groups and showing it to them and asking them, okay, this is after a game.
Yeah.
Do you think that we won or we lost this match, you know, according to
how you see the SG still going after the game?
Right. And he told the players, well, turns out we lost this game, but look at their energy.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of the times that's just the way it is. Right. We did it in Monterey and we've done it in even at home, you know. We get it, man. I mean, we all wish we won these games, you know, but we can't beat them down as well, you know, so we have to do our best and make sure that they know that we are still there for them. So anyways, Monterey was a lot of fun. We get back and literally start preparing for the home opener, which we've been preparing since, you know, January. As soon as New Year hit, I remember calling you and saying, all right, here we go, man. You know, and it's a lot of planning. We order scarves, you know, and that takes
scarves, shirts, hoodies,
flags,
mm-hmm.
and working on designs, approving them, making sure that that's what we're gonna go with. You know, if there's any changes on our logo.
This year, we did our biggest TIFO ever.
We did, man, and geez, man, it. I think the idea was we had already talked about it long ago.
Yeah,
we had talked about it since last year's home opener, knowing that we were going to come back to Oakland. We weren't sure if it was going to be Coliseum, Malibu, whatever, but we knew that we wanted to come in with a bang.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big responsibility, especially for you and I. And I think that you and I really took this project seriously because, you know, I know what Oakland means to you and you know what Oakland means to me.
Yeah.
We couldn't skimp out on a TIFO. I mean, down to when I remember telling you, like, hey, we got to cut this TIFO shorter. You know, and you're like,
hell nah.
And the project was so ambitious. That was the hard part because we've never done something this big.
Yeah.
We've never worked with the material that we use this time. You know, I learned how to sew just because of the roots. I was making luchador masks and, you know, sewing little, you know, fabrics together for what we do. So sewing something this big was crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was.
The square footage, well, what was it, like 67 or something like that?
It was 35 by 60 or something?
35 by 60, which is huge.
Yeah.
Our biggest TIFO was 15 by 15.
That's what I was going to say. Our biggest TIFO was 15 by 15. This one, what did we say? It's like 8 of those fit inside of it?
Eight of them, around 8 fit inside of that.
Like
if
some of you guys follow us on IG, I think we posted the picture where you could see us measuring from the second deck down to the bottom.
Yeah, and you know what I really like about that picture is that our determination was already there.
Yeah.
That's when the club allowed us to go and check out our section.
Yeah, it was the pick your seat day or whatever.
Yeah, and I had a couple people tell me, like, what a great picture that was, because it was you and I in that section alone.
Yeah.
And we took our measuring tape. We measured where our banner was going to be at. We literally visualized what we wanted to do, you know, that first game. And with all honesty, I feel like a lot of people thought we were crazy when we were measuring all this stuff because it was huge.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, we go and get the fabric, which was a huge deal to get that fabric. It
was so much fabric that it had to come from multiple stores.
That's right. Yeah. And then sewing it, right? Like you and I sitting there, and it took us 2 days to sew. Was it? Yeah, we sewed it. Yeah, we sewed it in 2 days.
Was it 2 days?
Oh, one day we cut the material.
Okay, that's what
true.
It was. Yeah,
yeah, it was a 2 day project.
Because the sewing, if you see the time lapse, like there's sunlight, and by the time we're done, it's dark.
Yeah.
The sun's down. Yeah,
I think it was like 3 hours of sewing,
but
something like
that. I remember when we said we were going to do it. It was like, oh, well, yeah, we'll do what we can today and we'll continue tomorrow.
Oh,
and,
man.
But it's like once we figured it out, once we had our little like timing.
Yeah, we were going.
You were just like.
I remember when we first cut the first strip. I was like, yo, what are we getting into? You know? And so we finally sew this thing. my backyard
wasn't big enough to extend it.
Yeah, so we didn't know how big it was until we went and started to outline it.
Yeah.
And that day when we put it down on the floor, I realized how it incredibly big this thing was, right? And if you guys have not seen it, we do have a video of the process of the whole TIFO. Look, I was nervous the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, I designed it, but I remember when I designed it, it wasn't to the measurements that we had. So it was kind of like the day that we outlined it, it was like, okay, let's go in sections and make sure this is going to work out.
Yeah.
I was scared that, you know, the sizing was going to be wrong, the portions were going to be wrong, that it wouldn't be centered, like all these things, right? Mind you, I've never done anything this big. And so, you know, luckily, man, the people from Los Roots stepped in to outline. It was late at night, and we rocked that thing in one night, the whole outline. It took everybody's hard effort to really make that happen.
Yeah, like, it's amazing how everything just comes together. Like, everybody being there to outline it, and then, like, you needing somebody to measure it. And then, bam, it just turns out that Marco has one of those fucking rolly measuring things.
Yeah.
So we're measuring everything exactly how designed it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Like, we didn't ask him to bring it. Just, bam, he had it.
And if he wouldn't have been there, yeah, it would have been a whole other ballgame.
We would have been measuring with our feet or something.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's for sure. Or maybe it would have taken way longer than it did, you know?
And like, even in that moment, you figuring out how to project it, because we had to project it in sections,
sure,
and how to make it fit exactly. Like, this is stuff that nobody would know happened if they just see the finished product. Like, wow, how did they do that?
You know? Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, man.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking, but fun.
Yeah.
I remember, and I had told you this, it's all the way down to when we exposed the TIFO, I wanted to make sure that I was enjoying every part of it.
Yeah.
It can get frustrating. It can, you know, I was getting anxious because a lot of the project, you know, I'm just telling you guys what to do a lot of the times, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, do this, do that. But a lot of it falls on me. And if I'm not prepared and if I don't do it right, then people don't know what's going on, right? So they're just going to do as I say, hey, you know, can you please do it this way? And if it fails, that's on me.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was really nervous throughout the whole time. I mean, we've of course haven't done anything this big, but we also haven't used that amount of paint.
That amount of
tools, that amount of plastic under the TIFO, the amount of space.
Well, yeah. Everything, you know, was magnified times eight.
Crazy, man. And so
that's why when we talked about how what needed to be done and how big it was gonna be and everything, I was like, bro, like, you don't paint. You just tell us what to do.
Yeah,
like, walk around, make sure we're doing shit right.
Yeah.
Because there was even that one point where you were like, hey, fix that part over there. And I'm like, where? You're like, right there, the lines. I'm like, what lines?
Yeah, yeah. You know, luckily, a lot of this stuff, not that I learned from, but I got an example in L.A. with LAFC. Uh-huh. They have TIFO directors, two of them.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, their TIFOs are 100 by like 50, ooh, right? You know? And it's a whole production to do stuff like that. And so I got a little taste of how they do things and, you know, what it takes to do something that big. So, you know, luckily it got a little tricky at times, but ultimately it was the weather, right? The weather not helping. It rained on us.
Yeah.
We literally were done painting it. We like gave ourselves a little pat in the back, and then bam, it just starts raining. And that actually ruined the TIFO.
Yeah.
We had to ball it up right away.
Yeah. All wet.
The paint was not dry yet.
Yeah.
So when, you know, the moment we rolled it up,
figure out how to roll it up without it like touching each other.
Yeah, we put like tarps in there. We did all kinds of stuff.
And still it ended up being...
Yeah. I didn't sleep that whole night because the next day we went in and unrolled it just to see the damage.
Yeah.
But, you know, so much money and so much effort and so much work had gone into it. I was just thinking the worst. We're going to have to redo this whole thing from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't sleep that whole night because all I wanted was to go to the warehouse and open it up. I just wanted to see.
Yeah.
Luckily, I mean, the damage was there for sure, right? Like, we had to repaint a lot of the parts, especially in the middle of it. But but it wasn't enough damage for us to have to redo it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then so we found a really good place in Alameda and set it down. We had Alameda officials come out and check it out. They flew a drone over it to get some footage. People were impressed with that kind of project, you know. And so anyways, we got that TIFO done.
Yeah.
Right. But then here comes this other part, which is executing it.
Yeah.
And here I go again, getting all nervous and anxious because I've never directed anything this big. Right. Yeah. And it's beyond the amount of people in Los Roots that we needed to make this happen.
Yeah.
This is our entire section. People who we don't even know.
Yeah.
You know, our section holds what? 500?
500. Yeah. Around 500. Around 500. People.
So in order, like we were with the megaphone, kind of like talking to them and letting them know what the process was going to be like.
Yeah.
And luckily the people in that section, they were super chill about it.
Yeah. Luckily it worked out. And also it helped that we had members under the TIFO going like, you know, don't shake the TIFO. Don't poke
it with the flag poles. Cause a lot of people will do stuff like that. Like they'll just, you know, poke it with a flagpole, but ultimately it just distorts the whole image.
Yeah. But it was cool. Like there's random videos of people that took video from under the TIFO.
Yeah.
And it looked chill. People were just sitting down and you know,
just kind of letting it happen
for longer than some of our other TIFOs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We definitely wanted it to be as the team came out and all the way to kickoff.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, look, people under the TIFO could have said, like, well, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I'm here to watch the game. You know, I'm here to watch the players walk out. But no, everybody, like, they were with it.
Yeah.
You know,
and people were excited. And like, when we rolled it down, they all started cheering. And
The kids had a lot of fun. I had some parents send me pictures of their kids just like, you know, having fun under the TIFO. And so,
I saw that one video with somebody recording from the other end. They're like, oh, I want to be over there.
Yeah, man. Yeah. They're like, I wish I was over there. But, you know, so here comes, you know, the TIFO, it goes up. And for me, especially, it was a very emotional moment because, you know, I grew up going to the Coliseum. My dad used to work in the West Side Club. I was part of the original drummers in the Moneyball era for the A's. You and I, longtime season ticket holders to the Raiders. So, you know, and then being so proud of Oakland, my entire business of art has been dedicated to the city of Oakland and its landscapes. So everything that I've done has been, you know, has somehow involved Oakland. So to be in such a historic, you know, building, right, where some of the best have, you know, stepped foot in there, right, and to have a section and be able to represent Oakland with the words Oakland forever, you know, it was a really, really important moment for me. I got to share it with you. I got to share it with a lot of really close friends. The pressure went away the moment that it was, you know, it was kind of laying there. I was, the last thing that I was hoping it was that this thing would be unrolled backward, you know, upside down.
Yeah.
But no, it went real smooth, man. It made headlines. It was recorded from all around the Coliseum.
Yeah.
People reached out to us multiple times. They continue to do so. They continue to tag us on videos and pictures of how amazing it looked.
Yeah.
We had other SGs on the opposite side reach out and just say that, you know, that props for the TIFO. It took a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of people.
Yeah.
But man, it was so worth it. I still look at the pictures.
I
still look at it and I'm like, dang. Because there's some really cool angles of like the team kind of entering.
Team, yeah.
And actually, what I really enjoyed about that is that the team traditionally just takes a picture, you know, towards the center of the field.
Yeah.
Maybe following the center line, but this time they purposely walked in front of our TIFO and took their first ever team picture
in Oakland
at the Coliseum in front of our TIFO, and that's stamped for life.
Yeah,
you know, like the first time the Roots ever played there, that's exactly the picture that was there, and it just kind of I guess that picture will always show our group of friends, you know, the people who were involved in that project.
Everyone that was involved in that will forever be able to say, like, I painted
it's
that.
Almost like taking a picture with them.
Yeah, I was a part of that.
I was a part of that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, everybody's going to remember the parts that they painted to.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, I painted that little line and that little triangle, you know? And,
yeah. And we had people that painted just little lines. But, yeah. Hey, just little. Thank you, though. Everything, every part helped.
Yeah, man. Every part helped. And it did take everybody's, yeah, you know, because sometimes it was less people, sometimes it was more people, but ultimately it got done. And I was excited to, you know, for it to be over. At, you know, yeah. I did enjoy the moment, but at the same time, I was like, oh, I'm so glad this is over and the pressure is done. So
yeah, but I want to say every step of the way was exciting. Every step of the way was a learning process because, dude, when you and I would talk about it, and we kind of, you know, we like to put out, what would you say, like how long things are going to take for us.
Oh, sure.
And we thought this would probably take longer than it did.
The whole month.
And once we completed it, it was like, whoa.
We did it quick.
Like, now you know, you as the art director, as the designer, I could imagine it gets your you know, your art mind going. Like, so, you know what we're possible of doing.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. It not only that, but also the cost. Right. Yeah, this is something that we went into completely blindfolded. We didn't know how much it was going to cost, what our budget was going to be like, if we were going to be able to do it. And actually, to that point, I do want to give a shout out to what is it? Edward and Dunn.
Yes, sir.
They sponsored our paint.
Yeah.
We were really going to get down to the last of our money that we've raised last year specifically for this project. And Marco, he actually hooked it up, you know, and he got us that sponsorship. So shout out to them. It was really great paint. One coat, it did its thing. Yeah. And we are looking forward to working with them for the rest of the season because we have plenty of other TIFOs that we want to bring out.
Hell yeah.
And so that saved us money. That saved us a lot of, you know, looking around for paint. The paint shop was right down the street, and we were able to get our paint quick and easy, effortlessly. So anyways, so we finished the TIFO, and specifically for that home opener, it was also the highest attendance for the Roots, in the at least any of our games before.
Yeah, before this home opener, what, the highest attendance, maybe 6,200, something like that?
Yeah, 65 tops, 6,500.
And for this game, it was 26,575, bro.
Man. I remember when the numbers...
20,000 more.
20,000 more. That's exactly it. That's right. I remember when the numbers were going up, I started to get a little nervous. Like, yo, you know, as supporter groups, as, you know, being part of the supporter section, we are the loudest section.
Yeah.
You know, our drum beats, all of that's heard all around the stadium. So, you know, I was like, yo, like, this is where you don't want to mess up. This is where you want to have, you want to be tight as a drum crew and, you know, as a capo or a trumpet player. You want to make sure that you're not messing up because the whole stadium is going to hear, you know. And in this case, it was going to be 26,000 people.
Yeah, you know, that was this. A crowd, bro. And it's amazing because the plan still for the season is that 15,000, just the lower bowl.
Right.
15,000 is
a sellout. That's a normal. Yeah, right. Sorry. Yeah. That's a normal sellout crowd. Yeah, 15,000. Yeah. And this was almost doubled.
So then when they were like 15,000 sold, and then, you know, 20, and then 20 something, it just kept going up and up. Was like, whoa. Like,
And I want to say also that this could have kept going. The numbers could have gone higher.
Honestly,
but they needed, the Roots needed to cap it out at 26.
Yeah.
Because they just weren't prepared for that amount of people.
Yeah, the Coliseum wasn't prepared for, the Coliseum, for more than
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah. And so I'm sure we could have gone higher.
Yeah.
Because look, at the end of the day of, people all around were looking for tickets.
Yeah, people were hitting me up for tickets.
The resale was crazy.
People at the tailgate were asking for tickets.
Yeah, like, the resale was crazy.
Yeah, I saw tickets in our sections. Yeah.
You know, they got pricey. But at some point...
I almost didn't make it to the game because I was going to sell my tickets.
Hey, man. You know, a little money. But I know the Roots at some point do want to break a bigger record than that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's like 31,000.
That's the USL record.
That's the USL record. And seeing these numbers, I can see it happening easily, yeah. Honestly. It could have even happened this game if the Roots would have been a bit more prepared. Or not the Roots, but the Coliseum. Yeah, not to put it on the Roots. But anyway, so, and we also had Too Short perform halftime.
Yeah, at halftime.
You know,
yeah.
So, and fireworks.
And fireworks at the end.
It was, bro.
Let's hold on. Let's go back a bit. Let's talk about, we started tailgating Friday night, bro.
That's right. Shout out to Forever Oakland.
Yeah.
Those guys traditionally have used that space on the 66th Avenue side for Raider games, tailgate.
Yeah,
you know, going overnight.
Way back. Yeah.
Yeah, overnight. And they wanted to do this again or share the tradition with us for the home opener. And as crazy as it sounded, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I personally didn't stay. I know you didn't stay.
Yeah, we had some members that stayed.
Yeah.
But,
oh, absolutely.
But
yeah.
That's crazy.
So it was fun. We got there.
Yeah.
7 p.m.
Started Friday night at 7, tailgating, music, food. Yeah, drinks. It was fun. A car club came through with a bunch of cars. Yeah. And yeah,
I think it was like two or three car clubs that came by. It was a lot of fun. And we left at some point.
Yeah.
And then we were back early the next day.
Yeah.
And what a great space. What a great amount of people that we had. Again, we had more food. You know, more drinks. We, as Los Roots, we had set up a barbecue from Smoke and Joe,
shout out.
Los Roots girls, they brought tamales, a lot, 400 or something like that.
Yeah, 400 tamales, yeah, bro. They were all gone.
They were gone. We ran out of food. Luckily, like right before it was time for us to march in.
Yeah, we ended up getting a tamborazo, had us dancing
the whole tailgate.
Man. Yeah,
so
that
much fun. There's drone footage of it. There's interviews that happened there. Los Roots TV was active and we had some interviews going on there. And so that part alone was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Another really cool experience for me, man, was when the club came out and they knew we were going to do the TIFO. So they brought a little golf cart all the way to our tailgate area,
Took
us inside, man. And to be the first in that Coliseum the day of, we got to see some of the practices that they were having, like the performers.
Yeah,
You and I just in that section. Nobody else was there.
Yeah.
We took some pictures in there. We got to walk through hallways that we normally wouldn't be able to walk through.
Yeah.
Went into some offices. It was a really cool experience. I mean, overall, but that day too, it was just nonstop enjoyment on my end where literally every moment of the day was full of fun things to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We had the Los Roots merch going on. That's when we gave the members their hoodies, their shirts, their scarves of the season. They hadn't seen the scarves. We held that as a surprise. And so it was just, it was a magical day for a lot of us, man. And people still can't stop talking about it.
I know, bro. It was Sunday, like it wasn't even 24 hours past the game, the tailgate, and I had people hitting me up talking about, hey, Pri, next Saturday, what time is the banda there? What time does the tailgate start? I'm like, man, relax. I'm still in bed, bro. Shit.
Yeah, no, it left people wanting more.
And I
think we know, at least for now, that the numbers are still pretty high for the next game.
Yeah.
Ownership let us know that it will be our second highest attended game.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be over 10,000.
Yeah.
But,
So we're looking forward to that. So then we go in, man, traditional march.
Yeah.
A lot of fun walking all the way from 66.
Longer march. Yeah.
Longer, but
but fun.
More attention, more fun, more people get involved.
Yeah.
We were able to walk through the entire parking lot of the Coliseum and just kind of give people a show. We stopped at some point and, you know, chanted one of our favorite chants. And we made our way through. We get to the gates. They stop us at the gates because they're not letting anybody in.
Yeah.
And we started a party there too. We started chants and showing people what we're about. And we get let inside, man, and it was all fun from there. You know? I ended up probably the most beat I have ever been in any of those games. My drum head was covered in blood because I was just, you know, I gave it my all. My hands didn't work for the next 3-4 days, you know.
I was like, did this guy break a red marker or something? And then I saw it. Well, I think it was your fist or your finger.
Yeah, my
I was
knuckles.
Like, yo.
Yeah. We had Chewy stop by.
Yeah, that was hella cool.
X-Roots player.
Yeah.
Had the whole place jumping, bro. Guys, if you guys haven't seen our footage, we have a bunch of it online, or just, I'm sure you could just look it up and on Instagram. There's just so much footage of that day, especially in our section, man. It was a party. I had people from across the Coliseum saying, that's where the party is at. Like, I want to go there next time, you know? And so many people were like, how do I get there, you know? So, look, guys.
To quote Cardi B, I want to be with the ratchets.
I want to be with the ratchets. I think she did that at a soccer game,
yeah,
too.
That's where I got it from. I saw a video. She was at a PSG match, of course, at the fancy seats.
Yeah.
And she points over at the SG section. They're all jumping, and she's like, I want to be with the ratchets.
Yeah. And it is a party.
Yeah.
A nonstop party, man. It's just the smiles, the beer showers.
Bro, that first goal day.
Yeah, it was.
I'm banging the drum and I see the beer just flying. I was like, oh shit.
Which is cool, man. And I don't want to talk down on that
because it's a celebration.
Yeah, we've had plenty of people who, I remember, like, what was it, Laney?
In Laney.
There was a beer shower once with one beer.
Yeah.
And it was like this big deal, you know. Yeah. People are like, who wet me?
Yeah.
You know? But it's tradition, you know.
Yeah.
When I went down to everywhere. Yeah. When I went down to LA, they had signs. They actually encourage it. We encourage it too as part of the celebration. I've seen the drummers out in LA because some of them use like these traditional drums made out of wood and like actual skin or leather.
The leather and the skin.
And they know that the moment that they score, all the drummers, they jump on top of their drum and cover it with their bodies because the skin can get messed up from the water or liquids. But they have no problem with it because they know that that's what's going to happen, right?
So celebration.
We do encourage it over here too, man. If people want to do that and show their excitement with beer showers or water showers, please do so, man. It's a lot of fun. It adds to the vibe and it just makes it that much more exciting. We had Chewy jump in there and he had the whole place going. At some point, people couldn't even get inside of our section.
He showed up like the ultimate hype man, bro. Like, we were doing Dale Dale. You could hear people chanting. But this man showed up, jumping up and down.
Yeah, his energy, man.
Yeah, his energy. He just brought it up a notch.
That's right.
And then I don't know if he brought the people with him or people gravitated to him. Because like you said, all of a sudden, like, I couldn't even turn with my drum.
Yeah.
I was surrounded by people.
Yeah. And that's how we wanted to be every game, you know?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So we're still on the high of that game.
Yeah.
Again, unfortunately, the game didn't go the way that we wanted it to go. We were definitely looking for a different result, especially for the home opener. You know, it got a little spoiled with that, but it didn't spoil the party. Honestly, I don't think it even put a real dent to it because the high was way too high.
Yeah.
You know, for the score to really harm us in any way, you know. But we did have, in my opinion, goal of the week, goal of the month.
Hell yeah.
You know, bicycle kick.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see it in person. I was drumming. I was looking elsewhere. But when I saw it on the highlights, I was like, yo.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I didn't see it when it happened because of the drums. But yeah, watching all the replays and stuff.
You know what I really enjoyed about that goal is that he ran.
Oh, towards our section.
Well, he was running somewhere else at some point, kind of like almost, but he remembered.
Yeah.
And he like stopped and like pointed at us and like, you know, kind of acknowledging us.
And then
us.
When he jumped, whoever that photographer was,
man,
got him in the air and you could see our section and everything.
Yeah.
It's just badass.
Great picture. Yeah, yeah. He's like celebrating in the air and you could just see where we're at and you know, having that still moment was really cool, you know. And I keep getting tagged in all kinds of pictures and I'm like, yo, this was badass, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of good photographers. And if anybody's listening to this and you have some pictures, footage or anything, send it our way, man.
Yeah.
We at some point do want to make a video, you know, just kind of putting all this stuff together and showing showing what the home opener was like for a lot of us through the eyes of everybody. So so we didn't get the score, but we still have two more games.
Two more home games, yeah.
I know, dude, and I'm beat.
Yeah,
you know, but they need to happen, you know.
Yeah, so the next home game is this Saturday, and it's against Las Vegas.
I know, Johnny's back.
Which, yeah, is the return of Johnny, bro.
I love Johnny, man. And that dude's going to score on us.
Hey, easy.
Oh, come on, bro. You think he's not, man? I think there's an actual, like, stat on that.
Really?
Yeah. There's an actual stat of, like, it's called, like, the ex-player or something. But it's, like, when a player leaves like that, like, they are more prone to scoring on their old team.
Oh, shit.
You know, so... I mean, literally, their first game, he scored two?
It was a preseason game. Yeah, he scored two goals.
Yeah, you know.
I think it was his first game in Las Vegas.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And we're just like, why did we let this guy go, you know? But we get it, man. These are moves from the club that we can't control.
All right, he could score one, but we'll score two. How about that?
There you go. That's better. And so, okay, so then we have Las Vegas coming up. Which, by the way, if you guys want to be a part of it, we are tailgating across the street from the Coliseum on the 66th Avenue side.
66 and Coliseum Way.
We'll be there around 2 p.m.-ish.
Yeah.
It won't be anything like the past one, just because we want to take a little break from the chaotic one we had in a good way.
It'll be what we call a tranqui tailgate.
Tranqui tailgate, yeah. Which those turn... out to be
nada tranqui.
We do have bathrooms, we have security watching the cars throughout the entire game. We actually pay for that, but we also do give people a safe place to park. There is a $20 charge compared to the $45 that the club is the Coliseum is asking for They're asking for $45 inside, and you are not part of the tailgate in there. So come out with us, man. Say what's up. Have a drink. Have some food. We're going to have a little michelada station.
Yeah.
It's going to be bring your own beer, bring your own food. Yeah, man, come have some fun.
Bring something to share.
Yeah, and then right after that, we have...
Rhode Island. Yeah.
That's April, right? Yeah, that's already April. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But so for the end of this month, we have one more, and then we have Rhode Island, and then we take a much needed break.
Yeah.
So anyways, guys, that's kind of our recap of what's been going on. I'm sure if we went into detail on everything, we would probably be speaking for many hours.
Yeah.
But you know, it just wanted to share how excited we were to be a part of the home opener in such a positive way, have an impact with the TIFO, and just be part of the whole experience, man. Because if you weren't there, man, you really did miss out on a historic day. Something that in my eyes, I'm going to remember for the rest of my life, you know, that game specifically, just of the importance of it and the amount of people that were there, the amount of work that it took. It was a really, really great time. But again, we're going to try and keep up with these podcasts. We've been super busy, but luckily we found a little bit of time to share this with you guys. We'll catch you guys on the next one and see you guys soon.
Vamos, Roots.
Let's go.